This is CliffCentral.com.
It's time to see what's happening in the economy. Of course, first thing on a Monday morning, we don't mess around. But first, another beautiful version of the song for Anthea. It's almost the disco version, right?
Yes.
Yeah. She works hard for the Monday. For it, honey. All right. Good morning, Anthea.
Good morning, Gareth.
All right. What do we have?
Well, really a dislocation between the economy and the stock market, because Friday was the fifth straight day of gains on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. Wow. We were up about 0.1%. For the week, we were up 2.6%. Value traded $1.4 billion, which is about 19 billion rand. So all good, but then we also had the retailers reporting and not so good. So just back to the stock market quickly. Resources were up about 63 basis points. Financials were up 0.25%. And industrials were down about 0.1%. Did you buy Steinhoff?
I did, Friday morning when you told us to.
Well done, because it ended 3% higher, which is not great. I thought it would have done
a bit
better.
It's not a bad start.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm looking for like a 10-15% bounce. So more to come, I hope.
Holding thumbs.
Mm-hmm. Right. Volume in the stock is huge. 3.5 times average daily volume traded on Friday, which is not as big as Thursday, which was 18 times average daily volume. And then the iron ore names had a big rally. Iron ore spot was much higher in China on Friday morning. So African Rainbow Minerals was up 6%. Kumba was up 3.5%. By the way, this reminds me, African Rainbow Mineral, you know, is owned by Patrice Motsepe. Mm-hmm. And he recently said that it looks like he's going to list his investment holding company, which is called ARC, A-R-C, African Rainbow Capital.
Okay.
The interesting thing is I think he'll list on the JSE. He's looking to raise between 3 and 5 billion rand on the listing. But he actually also owns a stake in the secondary exchange called A2X. You know, we have more than one stock exchange in South Africa at the moment. Eh?
People don't know that.
Yeah. They currently have access to 17 billion rand. So to raise another 3 to 5... I'm not sure what the point is. I guess what it does when you list a company is give it a rubber stamp, really. You know, because when you go through the listing, it's actually quite a big deal. You have to tick all the boxes. You have to go through corporate governance. You pay R1 million a year just to be listed. And you have to have sponsors like the Guptas found out with Oak Bay. So it's quite a big deal. It's quite an expensive exercise as well. But the point of being listed on the stock market is that it gives you access to capital. And we always talk about companies doing capital raises, issuing more shares, getting more money in to spend on growing their business. So I suppose that is part of the deal. You know, I think of Long for Life, they raised only 2 billion rand, right, which I thought was quite small.
Mm-hmm.
But subsequently, they've grown it to over 5 billion rand. So I suppose that's the point of being listed on the stock market.
All right, before we get into any specifics, a lot of people have been asking me to ask you about cryptocurrencies, about Bitcoin and all that stuff. Now, I know you. This is not something that you want to talk about in a hurry because it's not something that you don't put yourself out there as being an expert in this field.
Definitely not. In fact...
But I, again, like friends of mine over the weekend, and we always get a slew of messages here from people who've done really, really well out of Bitcoin and all the rest of it.
There are also people who have done badly. They just don't...
They don't talk about that. It's like gamblers who don't tell you about their losses. They tell you about their wins.
Derivatives traders, they're pretty much the same.
All right. So you don't think it would be worth taking a gamble in this stuff?
I'm going to leave that entirely up to you. So I think it's fun. Like, I think, why not? So, and there's a couple of things here. So either you can buy into a blockchain company,
uh-huh,
or you can go into the mining, or you can buy straight cryptocurrency Bitcoin. I don't, you know, and I've had people try to explain this to me, and I don't really understand the fundamentals. Like, I understand the fundamentals. Like, I understand that people say there's only so much, there's a nice ledger, blah, blah, blah. I get it. I don't see the excitement about it. Like, I don't. So I think everyone says that there's only so much Bitcoin that can be mined. That's such bullshit. That's rubbish. Because if they decided tomorrow that they wanted to release more Bitcoin, they absolutely could.
But who's they? I mean, isn't it everybody
owns? And that's the other problem with this. It's there's a name for this guy that, or there are three or four of them that hold the code for the cryptocurrency, for Bitcoin, right? And it's all so secretive. And
but I thought that it was a very public ledger that you couldn't. No one owns that code, absolutely. That it's a
somebody has to own the code.
It's owned by everybody who has Bitcoin. And you all double-check each other the whole time.
No, you don't go in and code when you buy Bitcoin. There are four people who own the code separately between them. Somebody has to have the lines of code that makes this thing that make this thing run. And that say there are only a million Bitcoins. Somebody has to have it. That's the big mystery. That's the big rubbish story that I'm not buying is that, it's not owned by anyone. It absolutely is.
I've fired her up now. Look at her. Jeez, we didn't expect this morning, right?
Jeez, and she's setting us straight.
Anyway, look, I put you on a diversion there, but the real story is back on the stock market. We're talking about retailers and everything else. Let's get back to that.
Okay, let's talk Woolworths and Massmart. They both reported last week. Woolworths' sales growth was pretty weak, 3% growth. Adjusted headline earnings per share was down 7.9%. So this is really not looking good for Woolworths. I mean, there have been a couple of things. Not only is the South African economy difficult, but they've had a few issues in Australia as well, you know, with their David Jones brand and a couple of other things that they've launched. And last week we were talking with ShopRite's results where the ShopRite was saying that they wanted to eat Woolworths lunch, you know, in other words, offer branded or unbranded or higher quality goods that the Woolworths shopper would go into Checkers and purchase.
Uh-huh. You think that'll work?
Well, I don't know. It feels like it does. It feels like it is working. It feels like people are shopping down. People don't have the money. Woolworths is seen as a luxury brand, and people don't have the money.
Yeah, but Anthea, can you imagine going into your book club and one of your mates has spotted you coming out of a ShopRite? And they only go to Woolworths. It's got nothing to do with the products.
The audacity.
I'd be like, did you see Regina last week?
Tell me I go to a book club. What is wrong with this man?
I'm talking about general Woolworths shoppers. Can you imagine one of them walking out with like label-less Chardonnay?
They would get
absolutely lynched at the next meeting.
So I think the entire South Africa, the entire consumer population is actually in trouble. And that everyone is shopping down. So I don't think that judgment is still there anymore. In fact, I think it's the other way around. Now when you come out of Woolworths with your most expensive meat in the country by kilogram, people are looking at you going, oh, really? I don't think anyone believes that you can actually afford it. You were going to say something.
Yeah, well, same goes for cars. I mean, come on.
Exactly. Yeah. It's exactly the same thing.
No one's going to start buying down if they can still just keep stretching and get that BMW.
Yeah, well, there you go, the consumer.
People aren't as smart as you, Anthea.
Sadly so.
Thanks, Ben. And then Massmart's another one of those stories. Unfortunately, they have a lot of discretionary spend, you know, Dion Wired, Jumbo, Game. And people are not doing that anymore. People don't have money to buy new TVs. So instead of changing their TV, how often do people change TVs? 3 years, 5 years?
I don't know. I've had mine for six, and I certainly am not going to spend more money on a TV.
If it still works and it's the exact same function, then
I know people who still have those old cathode ray ones. They're not going to change those.
You know, all faithful.
That's not a money thing. That's a sentiment about. Thing. Yeah,
that's some that's really deep antiques. Issues. Yeah.
So Massmart's sales growth was up 0.5%, so 0.5%, but the bottom line was down 10.7%. So huge declines in profitability in the retailers at the moment. And the other thing that we're seeing quite apparently with the retailers is that everyone is discounting, so everything's on sale, so that they can get people into the store to purchase. But what the only thing that does for the retailers is actually squeeze their margin. So they're trying to get people in to spend money, but they're not making that much in profit, unfortunately.
All right, let's talk about NSPAS and the AGM.
Because this is fun.
Yeah.
So there's something called activist investing or activist shareholding, right? So, and this is important to all of us now because we're all hashtag investors and we all right. own shares in companies, which means that we can now go to an AGM and vote. We can, ahead of time, ahead of the AGM, write to the secretary of the company and put something on the agenda, such as remuneration, which is always a big thing. Should these CEOs get paid so much? I mean, so what's his name? Bob van Dijk. He took home last year $2.2 million, so 28 million rand, 28 and a half
that
million.
That was salary?
Rand. No, it's a combination of okay. salary and a little bit of extra shares.
But that doesn't sound as extreme as some of the.
No, not like Whitey Bison, right?
Yeah.
yeah. Their CFO and their CIO took home 17 and 34 million rand, respectively. So the question is, should they be paid so much? And it's all about corporate governance and are they doing the right thing for the shareholder? That's one issue, remuneration. The other issue is, should they be extracting 10 cent out of Naspers, listing it separately as a separate entity and creating value? Do you remember Bidvest Bidcorp? When they did that, they created billions of rands worth of extra value for the shareholder. So that's the other thing.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, I think Koos Becker, who's the chairman of Naspers, put everyone on their place on Friday. I mean, there were a couple of things he says. So on the issue of corporate governance, he says, it sounds wonderful. If you want to be the best soccer team in the world, it is important to wash your hands after using the bathroom. But will you win? Not unless you train the hardest, recruit the best, and are merciless in your ambition. Once you have won, then you can look at things. If you lose, the best governance in the world can't help you. And it's like, wow. So it's a question like I want to pose to people, like, you're a shareholder. Would you go to an AGM and say, well, I'm a shareholder in this company and I'm not happy with what's going on here. I'm going to vote against, for example, maybe Bob van Dijk and Vasily and Mark, the top guys at Naspers, weren't earning that much. But would you have gone to the ShopRite AGM last year and said to Christo Visser, no, you cannot pay Whitey Bison 100 million rand?
Yeah.
Would you have?
I wouldn't. I'm not an activist shareholder. No, hell. Let them pay what
they... But you have the right to. So why?
Yeah, it's none of my business, though. If the profits are coming in from a shareholder point of view, then I suppose the guy's doing his job, then he must be paid properly. And if it's a certain... However they figure that money out, that's about them managing the business.
There are two great activist investors in the US. In South Africa, it doesn't work that well because you have to be able to go short the share and trust that you're going to make money. And one is Bill Ackman from Pershing. Mm-hmm. I think I might have mentioned him before.
You have?
He has a tagline. Do you remember his tagline? The only thing bigger than his hedge fund is his ego.
Okay.
so he started Pershing in 2004 with $54 million, took it all the way up to $29.7 billion. I mean, that's worth being an activist shareholder for. And basically, he walks into companies and he says, I think you can extract value either by buying another company, extracting one from the other, combining, consolidating. So like a couple of things, you know, he's had a big hit with Allergan, which is a pharmaceutical, and Valeant. So he pushed for the merger to happen. But guess what? Then Valeant, I mean... So he made, I don't know what it was, $2.6 billion just on that deal alone.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, maybe you do want to be an activist nice. Shareholder.
All right.
But then he had another issue when Valeant had an issue with their pricing of their drugs, and the share fell by, I think it was like 9% in one day. And, of course, you can imagine he lost a lot of money. So there's always that like kind of balance between what to do, what not to do. And actually, the other thing that Bob van Dijk said, which I must tell you about Naspers,
mm-hmm.
is because people think because Tencent is worth 130% of Naspers. So I told you Naspers is trading at a discount. If
yes.
you just take the Tencent value, it should be a 3,500 rand share basically. And Bob van Dijk said that I have to remember these numbers. I think it was 2004. People were telling him that he needed to sell his Tencent stake because it was now worth $1 per share in Tencent. 5 years ago, they were saying he had to sell his stake in Tencent. Naspers had to sell this because they'd made so much money. It was now trading at $45 per share. And then again, recently they said to him, now you really have to sell your stake in Tencent because it's $325 Hong Kong dollars a share. So basically, I mean, this activism shareholding, isn't it great that we're shareholders, but...
We don't have to get involved. That's the best part. Is you know what? Sometimes doing nothing is the right thing to do.
Maybe.
Anyway,
passive investor.
We don't see this going downhill anytime soon, so let's stick around with NASPAS.
We're not going to go to the edge. I'm sure there are companies where you would want to go and vote and say, kind of, what is the issue here?
Can imagine better ways to spend my time. all right, lastly, Janet Yellen, you spoke about her the other day. She gave some big speech at Jackson Hole, which is always a massive thing. People love to pay attention to these Jackson Hole speeches.
All the central bankers.
Yeah.
Very exciting central bankers.
Yeah, such exciting people.
Actually, it was a non-event, as I thought it was going to be. She really gave away absolutely nothing. You know, this is probably her last Jackson Hole, right? So I think her contract ends in February or March.
Okay.
And then it's up to Trump to elect the next U.S. central banker. I know, right?
Uh-oh.
We're all very nervous about it. We do think it's going to be a traditionally Goldman Sachs type person, or at least a Wall Street person.
Okay.
Yeah. So there you go. I mean, Mario Draghi did speak up. He's still talking about tapering and not supporting the balance sheet and kind of, you know, not buying as much bonds as before. But he's still worried that there is inflation. So I don't think he's going to stop this quantitative easing immediately. So we're okay still to go. I mean, I think the euro was incredibly strong after he spoke. Oh, sorry, weaker. After he spoke on Friday, because you know it's just nothing there, nothing to see really. Very boring Jackson Hole.
All right, well, I'm glad I wasn't there either. Shareholders, activist shareholders meetings and AGMs, and then these Jackson Hole talks. I can skip both of those.
The activist shareholders gets quite exciting, actually.
No,
they?
Come on. No, okay. No, it's not right, exciting. Come on.
All right.
What are we? This is ridiculous.
We've got Game of Thrones, right?
Are you excited?
I am.
You do? You like this?
Yeah.
Yay.
Very excited.
It's not just us,
Can't
Mubs.
Wait.
See? It's not just us, the childish people who care about these TV
Oh,
shows.
No. If it gets Anthea's stamp of approval, then I'm happy.
We don't have to feel guilty. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll get to Said by Sia next. Thank you, Anthea. We'll check in with you tomorrow.
Thanks.
There we go, Anthea Gardner.
This is CliffCentral.com.